Passion our purpose, profit our pain.
I don't ever want my name to be in vain.
A life full of substance is the only thing that will remain the same.
Millennial
thoughts.
We all, we're trying to get there. We're almost there.
Okay. Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Alicia.
And it's Sabria here.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode of Millennial Thoughts Podcast. We are so glad to see you all. If y'all are on YouTube, if you didn't know, if you're listening on the audio, we also have a YouTube channel so y'all can come and see our face. It's Millennial Thoughts Podcast. And we would love for y'all to subscribe. And if you are on YouTube, you know, we would love for the dual support to be on the audio downloads as well. So thank y'all so much in advance. But we are going to be talking about dating, and we're going to talk about money this episode. So get into it with us. We're going to be talking about money, love, and all the things that come in with that. But before we get into that, we're going to shout out our millennial mogul, and her name is Alamade Aloe. And I hope I'm saying her name right, but she is the founder and CEO of Topicals. And she is the youngest Black woman to raise $10 million in funding for her skincare business. Fun fact, I actually met her at an event that Essence put on. They have like a Girls United Summit in Atlanta. And I met her and I talked to her there. And she was like, oh, you should go on the website and look for some jobs. I did, though, but I didn't really have any jobs for me, per se. She's like in L.A. And so I think that's really cool for her to have a son, like a skincare line, and focusing on like Black women is really cool. And so we just wanted to shout her out. And if you want to check out any of her stuff, her Instagram is Olamide Oloa, which is her first and last name, Olamide Oloe. And her business Instagram is Topicals, Topicals, is skincare for flare-ups. And then her website is mytopicals.com. So check her out. Tell her that Millennial Thoughts sent her. And let's see if she remembers me. I told her my name. And so I told her I was going to like follow her or whatever. I kind of engage with her content. So like that. So I think that's really kind of cool to like see a founder or whatever. So yeah, that is our Millennial Mogul. And so if you all want to suggest any Millennial Moguls, email us at millennialthoughtspod@gmail.com. We welcome, you know, people to share who is popping in their industry or just a popping millennial in general out there in the streets. Okay.
I love it. She sounds amazing. And I'm excited to bring us to the start of our episode. But before we do that, instead of our typical therapy toolkit cards, we got a different type of therapy approach. We're going to be talking about preferences and choices. And so, Alicia, I'm going to be playing a game with you called This or That. Are you down?
Yes, I'm ready.
I love it, y'all. So we're going to be talking about money and relationships later on today. So we're going to ask a couple questions that are related to relationships. Sometimes, you know, it's going to be questions that are kind of around money somewhat in a way, just all kind of related to relationships. And we're going to decide this or that, and we're going to share our perspectives. So are we ready for the first one? All right, let's do it.
We are ready for the first one.
Let's rock it. So the first one is shared finances or financial independence.
Oh yeah, these are all for relationships, by the way. Just FYI, they're about dating and stuff like that. I think, can we say this and that?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, I'm thinking a little both, like right?
Hey, yeah, I'm thinking a little both. I'm thinking, because I don't know about financial independence, maybe financial interdependence.
Ooh, look at you using therapy words.
Okay. Independence period, share finances, because I really don't know about sharing my finances with somebody or like having the same bank accounts together.
I don't know about all that.
But I know like about having a bank account together for bills and then having your own accounts, whatever that one is, that's what I'm choosing.
I love that. I think that it's important, you know, to think about the fact that it also depends on the relationship, right? Depends on the couple, depends on how they approach money. And so we'll talk more about this later in the episode. But I actually like the idea of a hybrid between the two. I would say this and that, right? So there's room for you to have your flexibility financially, and there's room for shared financials. And as a married woman myself, it takes time to kind of find what works for you. I would say that people have to give themselves grace in figuring out what makes the most sense. Nowadays with Zelle and Cash App, there's so many ways to make it all so easy where you might not even have to do the whole bank account thing. You know, there's easy ways to send money. So I just, you know, I think that's cool. So let's go to the next one. This was a good one though. I think this is a good starter. The next one is traditional roles or equality.
Yeah, this one was a tough one. I because I me personally, I don't really care for traditional roles, but like shared equality, I'm trying to figure out like, okay, we both pay and then we both do the work. So I think equality, but I feel like I'm a cancer because I want to be a, like, I want to stay home with my kids. Like, I want to homeschool my kids, but I don't really want to do all the dang housework. Like, I don't want to cook and clean and stuff like that. So I'm gonna probably say like shared equality.
Like you picking this and that for all of them. You know, I once again say it depends, right? So I think that I find so much beauty in some elements of tradition. One thing that I've kind of come through my own personal journey is that I have really loved really stepping more into the nurturing role. I've spent a lot more time in the kitchen lately. I've cut back a little bit on my work capacity in order to be a little bit more attentive to our day-to-day things. Like I keep the, you know, I'm loving keeping the kitchen and the household clean and, you know, dishes and laundry. Like I'm finding that to be more of something that's comforting because I can watch my favorite shows or things while I'm doing it. So I think that it's also seasonal, right? It depends on where you are. But then my husband, he kind of steps in on certain seasons where I feel like I'm more work heavy. So I would say I agree with you in this idea of this and that, right? Like it traditional roles sometimes make sense in certain scenarios, and sometimes equality of, you know, both of us, you know, heavy taking the load of whatever that means kind of makes sense too. So I guess it depends on the situation.
Yeah, because although I do want my man to pay all the bills, I don't want to cook and clean all day. Like, I don't find joy in cooking and cleaning. You gotta keep cleaning, keep cooking, keep cleaning, clean. You only gotta pay the bills once a month.
Not too bad as long as the house is like y'all don't do too much. Like, well, it's just the two of us, right?
Well, I'm thinking about like when you have kids and stuff like that more.
That's
Like,
true. That's true.
yeah, like you keep cleaning, but even then you gotta keep cooking. Like, y'all gotta eat the 3 times or whatever a week. Not 3 times a week. I mean, technically 3 times a day, but like every day or whatever. So I do
Yeah.
like the shared thing because also I like to be able to have money because like I do want to go on trips. I want to do different things like that. So it's like I kind of probably will help take care of like the light bill, you know what I'm saying? The rent. I just don't want to pay the rent. Whichever one that this or that is for, that's what I don't want to pay. Okay. This
The
week
rent is
I'm gonna get
out.
this, baby. I'm not a this or that type of girl.
I know this is great. I love this. So, and for those listening, you know, feel free to share with us what you're coming up with. So here's
Yeah, and
our,
watching. Let us know in the comments.
yes. So here's our next one. Excitement, or I guess spontaneity or routine.
So here we go with another. Am I going to choose this or that? I am going to choose excitement. I would rather definitely have excitement in it, but I am a very routine person. Just like day by day, because like you have a routine. So like I get up in the morning, I get up at 5 o'clock, I go to the gym, I go to work, and then I come home and I do things like so. I am very routine. Like I'm a very routine person in a sense, but I have excitement throughout my week. So I would rather like be excited. I don't want to just have a routine like we just go to work, come home, go to work, come home. Like I'd rather be excited, like, okay, let's go do something, let's go out here. So I would pick excitement over routine.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people, there are people out there who really like they live by the routine. And I totally get that, especially with certain things like if we have ADHD, borderline, some certain situations, especially for our like mental health, can really require even people who have high anxiety. Routine makes a lot of sense. For me, it's funny, I can be a little bit of a neurotic, anxious person, but I don't mind my day not being the same every day. I don't mind my day kind of being like, oh, wow, today I ended up doing this. The only thing that gets me sometimes is if I had a plan for a certain day and then something gets thrown off, I struggle with that. If I had like planned to get something accomplished and then I get a monkey wrench that throws me off. So I can say I lean towards excitement like you, spontaneity, and then routine sometimes can be necessary to be, you know, to have some self-discipline. So.
Yeah, and that's why I think because like this we're focused on like relationship, like in career. No, baby, I need a routine. Like, I need to know what I'm doing every day because baby, when you do, but like, that's too confusing. That stresses my mind out. But when it's like in a relationship, it's fun. Like, oh, we don't know what we're doing, you know. So I think it could kind of depend on the flexibilities or whatever, like versus a job versus your relationship versus like your day-to-day things, you know, or even like your personal goals or something like that.
I love that. I love that. I think it's a great point. I think it does depend on the situation, even within your relationship. So let's pop to the next one. Supportive partner or individual goals.
So yeah, when I seen this one, I was like, I definitely want a supportive partner. But it's like, we can like work on our own individual goals. So like, I don't know how that one's like a this or that, but I would pick supportive partner.
Well, I would say supportive partner means that there's going to be an element of sacrifice from either party, right? So like, if you do individual goals, I guess neither one of y'all would have to really sacrifice for one another, right? It's more like you both do your own thing. Whereas supportive partner, in my opinion, there is an element of sacrifice. And so you might have to be the supportive partner in that time. And then later on, that person can be the supportive partner for you, but you may have to give up what you want for a period of time. So my question is, would you be willing, let's say you had a partner who wanted to pursue a business and it took them about maybe 3 or 4 years to get there. Would you be okay maybe being, maybe it could be financially, you have to be more involved or more emotionally. How do you feel about that?
Oh, okay. That's versus like individual goals is like where you don't have to sacrifice anything.
You both just do your own thing.
Individual goals. I'm just playing.
You said individual goals. You're like, nope, never mind.
Hold on. I think it depends. Yeah, I think it depends because, baby, I know y'all watched Insecure and Lawrence was working on that business for about 3 years and we never seen it come to fruition. So, I'm open to being supportive, but I don't know. I might pick individual goals. I think it depends. To be supportive, I have to know, like, what the end
goal. A clear plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I need a plan. Like for instance, I don't know if you know, but Kev on stage, like he's a dreamer. Melissa, his wife, she's not a dreamer. Like she's like, whatever it is, but she's like, I want to be supportive, but you don't have you need to put a plan together. He ain't had no plan together. So yeah, it's like, I need to kind of see like what we're doing. Like, don't be like, oh, you want to support you buy a house. And then you got me out here like Legion or like Teresa. And baby, there ain't no house. So like, what's the plan like? So I can only be supportive if I see a plan.
Yeah. Okay.
If you have, and if you already have a business and stuff like that, then I guess we'll do individual goals. Like we have our own type of goals. Like we're already where we made it to where we want to be. So like, we're not really sacrificing anything. So it can be individual. So that's
I lean towards a supportive partner. And that's only because in my personal experience, I found that, you know, like, for example, I was able to really focus on building my businesses when my partner was really supportive. And then now as the things change and I've stabilized in my career, you know, I look forward to him doing the things that he wants to do. And so to me, I feel like individual goals works, but to me personally, I feel like you can go further the distance with that supportive piece. But don't get me wrong, it does depend on the situation and what you're coming into. We got together when we were really young, so we were building at that time versus somebody that maybe gets together in their 30s or later on in their life, they may be at a different place where there's not really as much need for that type of sacrifice. So
yeah, so that's what I was thinking too, because it's like if I'm single right now, so maybe by the time I get to you, I need the business to be...
You need to be ready.
Ready, because baby, I'm trying to have kids and stay at home.
So this is funny. It actually brings us to our next this or that question. It's family centered or career focused. Ooh, this one's a really big one for women in particular, because I feel like we're constantly having to choose between the two.
I know. So that's why we don't do this or that. We do this and that. This is like, if this is saying like, if I want a man family focused or career focused, I guess it's kind of both. I feel like in actuality, like how we're living different lives, I'm single again. So of course I will want my man to most likely be career focused now. Like I'm career focused because we're single. Like we're focusing on building something to have for our family. So I think as being single, I'm definitely career focused, but when I get married, it's going to be like family focused more. Cause you're going to be at your career. Like hopefully you're going to be at your peak. Okay, and you keep peeking or whatever, but yeah. So I think that I would want a man that is family centered, but also when you think about a family centered person, they're going to do anything for their family. So they're going to make sure they have that money. They're going to make sure they have everything that they need versus a career focused person. I think all about career, nothing about family, nothing about anything else. So I would probably pick a family-centered person. And then I'll probably be more of a family-centered person. Like you said, I don't think I'm like this nurturing person, but like, of course I feel like when I have kids or something like that, I'll probably like be more nurturing. So then I'm going to be like worried about my family and stuff. Right now I'm worried about career and life, cause that's just who I am. And I don't have any kids and stuff like that. So I definitely probably would pick family focused.
And it's really funny because I know you talked about the nurturing piece. I think that I used to think I was that same way too. Like I was so like, Sabria got goals, business building. That was all me, especially in the early days of my relationship. And even in those first, you know, years, a good chunk of it. It's interesting. I've actually come into my nurture season so much more naturally and organically in a way that I never thought would happen. But I think it comes from a place of being able to be vulnerable and safe that I was able to like tap into that nature of even me, because I actually didn't think I was capable of being a nurturing person until I got in the space where, you know, my marriage and I, we really kind of got to a space where things, it's just a level of vulnerability and safety that I've approached in this season of my life. So ironically, just a few years ago, maybe I would have been more career focused just because nurturing wasn't a big thing for me and it wasn't a big part of my mind. But now I think as time has evolved in the last few years, I'm like, you know what? I've done some great stuff in my career. I love my career. I love what I've accomplished. But there's a certain level of transition, of like elevation that I want, that I feel like I can't access at this point through my career. It has to be through my own personal development as a woman and maybe a mother or whatever that looks like. So I'm noticing that my patience and other things I need to work on are coming, it's coming out of other places, not just my career. It's coming out of cooking and the days that I'm like, oh my gosh, I burnt this thing and I busted my tail trying to make it. It didn't come out as I thought, you know, that's teaching me lessons. It's teaching me lessons though, right? Like it's a good thing.
I'm like, you take 2 hours and then 5 minutes of food is gone. Like what? But yeah,
I love it. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, which is crazy though, because I have a lot of patience. Like I've worked with kids and stuff like that. And that's another thing too. Like people don't know how much it takes to take care of kids or whatever. So like I have patience. I have a thing, but yeah, it's just like also speaking to this is like, I'm not the oldest. I'm the youngest, you know, and I'm the only girl. So, like, I don't know if it was, I was more nurtured. And so I don't have anybody younger than me. I'm not taking care of family, you know, like I just look out for myself. Like I'm the only girl, whatever. I'm like the youngest, you know? So that's also a piece about it. It's just like, I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm nurturing, but now in conversations, I feel like I know how to nurture, like, well, like friendships and stuff like that. Like I know how to do it.
Yeah, you're more nurturing than you think. I love that.
Yeah. Like with friendships, I'm like, I do nurture. I know. But yeah, when I'm thinking like motherhood, I'm like, I don't really know if I'm like a nurturer, like if I have that nurturing spirit or whatever, like that's how I feel. Like, I don't know.
You'll find out. You're going to find out.
Don't see.
I love this.
Let us know what y'all this or that is. Don't be like us, y'all. Pick really one. Pick
this one, right? Like we totally cheated on this one. It's okay. But it was great. And I love this because this really rolls us into our topic for today, talking about relationships and money. And I think that we should just jump in. And one of the first things I want to simply ask, Alicia, and I want to hear from you is like, when do you talk about money in a relationship or in the realm of getting in a relationship? So is it before you even start getting a relationship with this person? Is it when y'all are talking on those first dates? Like, when do you think it's a good time to even talk about money to a potential significant other or partner?
I think you should answer the first question first, Miss Married Woman. I answer, but which is very ironic because people don't talk about money, but I'm like, money is the most important thing, baby. I'm ready to talk about money the first date. Okay, what's your credit score? Because baby, I ain't got time. I don't know, but I don't know, like, of course, because I don't know how. I know that you've been with your husband now for a long time and like y'all date or whatever, so I don't know, like, if you was dating and talking to a lot of people or whatever, but like, when I like ask people like what's their job, I'd be like looking at them, like, I wonder how much they make. Like, I don't know if you ever did that, is what I was trying to say, because I know you've been dating your husband for a long time. But like, yeah, so like I've been on a date with like engineer, I'm like, oh, I wonder how much he make, like engineers. Then you hear people from warehouse, so it's like, okay, like I'd be like, what you do, what's your job? Oh, okay.
What's the exact job title? Let me make sure.
Okay, how much? Okay, what's his job? What he do? Baby, I'm figuring it out. You ain't gotta tell me, but I'm gonna try to figure something out. And that's most likely definitely like if I'm interested in you as well, too, you know. But I already know engineers, I already know off top they make good money, you know. What's another one? Like I haven't talked to no doctor, but like, you know, engineers, kind of doctor people or whatever, or like dentists, stuff like that. Like, so you know, some careers kind of make more money than other careers. Teachers, I'm like, you know. So I wouldn't like speak about money, and then because you also know what men think you want their money when they don't even have no money. So that's a whole nother conversation. But all I'm to say is like I ask questions like, oh, what do you do? So the dude's like, oh, I work in insurance, and I'd be in my head though, it's like something I know, like, oh, insurance, I know you don't get paid every day. So I'm like, well, what you know, entrepreneurship, you know, are they
Yeah,
talking
it sounds funny.
about DoorDash? Like entrepreneurs. Not that they don't get paid every day, but they don't always have a consistent income. They don't know. And speaking to men though, that really affects who they are. So if they don't make no money that day, it's like, can I really deal with that? Like knowing that he don't make money every day, can I deal with his emotions and how he's gonna feel and how he's gonna be when he's like, oh, they gotta make no money today. You know what I'm saying? So I think it even ties into that, but I don't think people really think about that. But for some reason, I do think about stuff like that. So all in all to say, I think you should talk about money when you're like serious with somebody. I don't think you have to be like on the first day, how much do you make? But I would be like, oh, what's your job? What you do? Oh, okay. And then if they work in finance or health or something like that, oh, that's what I'm like, the tech. Like tech is getting really big, you know, like software engineers. That's what I was saying. Like tech support, they got data scientists, that. So like I just ask you what your job is, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then you ask, like, this is how you ask. You ask, do you live by yourself? You like, who do you live with? You know, so that's how you can kind of, you got to get into the money questions like that. You live by yourself. Oh, you got a house? Oh, okay. Then when'd you buy your house? You know? So you got kind of like finagle the questions, okay? So that's a long
No,
story. That's a story.
I get that. I like that you like thought through this. Like this was great that you kind of talked yourself through this because it is really complicated, right? So for me, I'm in a very unique situation, whereas, well, maybe not super unique, but my husband and I got together, you know, before we even went to college. You know, we were in the early days. So I was, you know, I didn't even actually know fully what his plans were when we got together. We weren't even thinking about marriage when we got together. We were like freaking
In high
trying
school,
to just.
y'all got together in high school.
So it was my high school. He was already in college at that point. And I don't even think I knew what he majored in, to be frankly honest. Like, I had no idea, to be honest. Like, we
Like,
had known
I
each
got
other.
a boyfriend
Yeah, like, I was just excited. I mean, and I'd known him before, like, before he went off to college, but I actually didn't know what he was studying. And then we just kind of, you know, we kind of like found our way, and here we are years and years later. But I think that one of the things that I realize is that money. It's a really tough conversation, regardless of if you have a long relationship or you don't. It's never going to be fully comfortable. We didn't really fully kind of understand how we were going to navigate our financial journey into years into the relationship because we were going through so many major changes as a couple between college, between grad school, between getting our first home, like all of these things. There were so many things that were happening. And you don't really sometimes even know until you know. So I mean, it could be simple things like deciding, you know, if you know if you're married or before you're married or not, like what that means for property or who buys what, who's doing what. Like it can get really complicated. So in my opinion, the best way to discuss money as a part in a partnership is to discuss it often. I think that it's important to have. There's usually one partner who's better with money than the other, quite frankly, there is. I mean, I love my husband. He is way better than me about like keeping up with all the moving parts. Like sometimes I'm like, who's our water company again? Like, and that's just the truth because like, and I mean, I know who it is, but like, I don't always like keep up, like, because he's really good at like managing all the logistics. Whereas for me, I'm more so looking at like, okay, groceries, here's what we need. So I'm looking at a different part of our
That's what I'm
finances.
trying to be like I'm trying to not even know what how much I don't even know what a water bill is like I'm trying to get like that like what's a water
But here's
bill?
the thing. I like to still contribute in a way, but it's more like he's good at figuring out what goes where. Let's put it that way. Like he's better at deciding what goes where. Whereas for me, I'm more so better at like, you know, when we're buying actual things for the house. So like I'm that person that remembers like, okay, we need to do this and that.
Yeah, that's
So
what I
I
need
think
to do.
it's So I think it's important that you have a partner that y'all decide who's better at money. Like there's sometimes the woman better or the wife or whatever that identified partner is, they might be better at money or your other spouse might be better. So it's important for y'all to figure out maybe who's more money minded. who's more long-term oriented. Like my husband's a lot more long-term oriented about money than I am. I like am trying to live for like the next 6 months, whereas he's like, Sabria, we got to think about like 10 years from now. And I'm like, so he's really good at like looking at our big picture where I am in the moment. And so I think that's a beautiful combination. And I think that that's important. So to me, talk about money often and early. And I would say early as in it's okay to talk about what do you do on the first dates. And it's okay to talk about those things. But when you start getting into the nitty-gritty of, well, what kind of spending do you like to do? What kind of things do you like to splurge on? You know, I know what my husband splurges on. He knows what I splurge on. And I'm more of like the cheap one. Like I don't really spend a lot of money. He loves to buy the newest device or something. Like he's the big spender. So like knowing those types of things, like knowing what their splurges are and how they spend is really important.
Yeah, I would say this is just to you, but if y'all want to even dive more into this, y'all should listen to the Sips of Success podcast with Erin on Demand. She's really a popular YouTuber, and her husband Cameron, and they talk about money. And so when you were saying that, she don't know nothing about the finances of paying. He pays everything, but she's more of the business person. So she knows about her business finances, but she's like, I don't know about the water bill. And I'm like, yes, that's great. But I'm like, and that now that can get me into the nurturing spirit. If I don't gotta spend a dang dollar, I ain't gotta worry about it. That's cool. But I was gonna ask, like, do you feel like nowadays, since you like both do work and stuff like that, do you feel like you have to contribute? Like, do you feel like you have to contribute to the rent, to the this stuff like that because you all both work? Or did y'all talk about that? Like paying rent and bills and stuff like that before
I
y'all got
think
married.
it changes. I think it changes. So a lot of people don't realize, especially depending on when you date, you're gonna make more money. Like you're gonna do more. Assuming you continue to work harder in your life, you're gonna be further. So in the early days, we were, you know, I was definitely a contributor, a big contributor because we were both trying to figure stuff out. We both were finishing college. We both, you know, we were right, you know, we're very similar in age. We didn't have much, you know, we didn't have a family foundation as much. You know, our parents were very humble beginnings. And over time, you know, his career, of course, he had a different trajectory because he's in the technology field, very different. Whereas me, I was in the entrepreneurial space a little bit earlier than he was. And so for me, my money fluctuated a lot more. And so over time, it got easier to say, okay, it makes sense for you to cover this. I'm really big about you covering bills based on the proportion of what you make. I think that's really important. However, you know, if it gets to the point where your partner does better or they're making in a better place and you're better placed in other parts of your lives, then I think you should distribute yourself in other parts of your lives where maybe sometimes your money's not even like the difference or it doesn't make the difference or it doesn't matter as much because you are better off in this place of y'all's relationship. Like you cooking dinner every day might make the difference. It's a time saver. I think people don't realize it's the game of time and money. We're all making money to get our time. That's
Yes,
all it is.
and I'm like we're going to a time. We're like on the time thing. And like what I was gonna say too, as you really put it, I don't think people know like this, a marriage is a partnership, you know? And so going back to the conversation and stuff like that, men aren't really sharing how much they make because they think money women want their money, stuff like that. But it's like if you really like this woman, if you're really interested in this woman, like you need to talk, even having a plan, because like you said. Right now, like you could not be making money, and you might have a 5-year plan or whatever. And so, what I think is I'm not trying to boast or anything like that, but I do think I'm good with money. I think I know how to save. I think I know how to plan. I'm really not a big spender. I mean, I do spend on travel. I would love to spend more money, and I have spent more money, but you know, so I'm just nervous because it's like if I'm the saver, and my man is the spender, baby, I'm gonna be anxious every time, and I don't want to have to deal with. Having to pay, having to make sure you have your money and stuff like that. So I think that is another thing too. Like, 'cause you can have money, but do you know how to spend? Do you know how to save? But it's like you can't even have those conversations because men are so worried that you're gonna take their money. It's like, no, I'm not. But if you want to build a family with me, it shouldn't be that I'm taking your money. It should be money for the family. So that's what I was saying, going back to a family-minded person, you should want to be that. So these men don't want to be providers, but I'm like, I need a provider. Like I know what life I want to live, and it's like if I want to take care of my kids, like if I want to live this free life, like if I want to homeschool my kids and stuff like that, like I know I'm gonna need a certain type of man to understand that, and so that goes into those conversations with money. Are you gonna be able to provide for a family and stuff like that? And so I just think that sometimes like they don't think it's a partnership. They're like, oh, your woman wants your money and stuff like that. No, if you share about like your plans and like that, a woman's gonna eat it up. I do not date that P word, I forget it. They call it a P word. Women be like, I seen something in him. It starts with a P. I potential. I don't date potential, but some women do. So you can put it out there. I'm dating someone that's probably like more ambitious like me, but if a woman sees your potential, she might be more open to you doing it. But I guess being a man and having like money is like a more vulnerable sense. But to be real out here, like everybody ain't got money. It's okay. We know some people are like broke, and I'm doing quotations because like not really broke, but like everybody's living paycheck to paycheck. That's why you get together to be a partner to bring more money. And so now as I'm getting older, I see it like you do have two incomes to have more money to be able to do more things. Like that is the whole system. And I just feel like sometimes, not trying to go on a tangent, but like in our community, we have all these broken homes. We have all this stuff. We can't even build together and build wealth and stuff like that because we are not working together. You have this, they have that. And it's like, let's come together. Let's get married so we can build that financial security for our kids. So we can be able to have that financial freedom. So we can build on top of stuff. Like you were saying, your parents came from humble beginnings. So I guess my parents did too, in a sense or whatever, but like, we're like second or third generation. Like our great grandparents probably didn't have no money. So it's like, we have to change something in our culture.
Yeah, you have to change it.
Become bigger. And so I can't be out here like, you don't know how to spend, what are your money or what's your goals or like that, and you don't have no plan. If I know that I want to build generational wealth, or I want to be able to have my kids to have a nice life, and y'all not talking about money. Money makes the world go around. So at the end of the day, we have to quit doing the stigma about not having money. And slight plug, I do have another podcast. So it's called Black Girls Then. And we talked about money management and how we learned the value of money. And when we started talking about money. And so to me, I learned about money when I was in elementary. I had a savings account. I had a bank account is what I said. Bank account, savings account. I got chores. I got allowances. So like, money is natural to me. And so it's an easy conversation. And I think about that even now, because like, I was just walking past like this lady, she was talking to somebody on the phone. Someone's like, are you gonna buy that car? She was like, I'm not buying that car if I can't do a tax write-off. I was like, oh, that's crazy. And of course she was the other skin complexion. I'm like, we don't even talk like that. And even when you ask me how much do you make, like, we are not transparent about how much we make. But it's like, we're not making it. So like, why are we not talking about like how much we make? This is the thing that we're not talking about. Like, I'm like, oh, how much is this? Because when I was in college, I thought 30,000 was great. Now I know 30,000 is not great at all. Like, it gets you nowhere. So I'm like, we need to be talking about, oh, how much you make, how much you make. Now we hear everybody in tech making six figures, but maybe then you laid off 6 months later. That's another story for another day. But
I want to jump in though. I want to add that transparency is super big in relationships when it comes to financials. However, you know, we think about the situation, for example, with the Risa Tisa case or whatever, right? Where unfortunately, I think there was an element where she wanted that relief, and that was really helpful to have somebody be able to come in to help her financially. By the way, is this, if you haven't seen her case, it's all over the social media. So feel free to just Google her, look her up. And basically, when I think back of that case and that situation, sometimes we have to make sure that remember that it's important that you don't allow the financials to be all encompassing of what someone can do for you, because that can make you miss other crucial red flags and other things about a person. And so I think that it's so complex, and I think transparency does help. And I think as long as you both are willing and open to share what your debts are, what your credit scores are, what you have coming in, what you project your career to look like, what you project to come in, if you plan to take a step away to do entrepreneurship, if you plan to take a career break. You know, my partner, I'm really big about him taking breaks if he chooses to do so, because he does have a high burnout field, and it's pointless if he goes in and he's just straight burns out. And so I do think your money will change and fluctuate over time. And you both have to just be prepared for those seasons. Just as there's times where I really wanted to go for my journey of entrepreneurship, and he was like, well, do it. We're in a good place for you to do it. And so that's my biggest recommendation, is to really think about like holistically who you are. And also, one thing I like to do in couples therapy is encourage couples to write their money story and share their money story with one another, because sometimes money can cause a lot of pain and heartache is one of the reasons for divorce. And it's because a lot of times you don't understand where that person is coming from, of why they may be living for the moment. Like, for example, if you're someone who may have come from a very broken home or very difficult environment, it may be quick for you to want to live for the moment, because maybe you're in a world where life was short, you live in fast, do what you can. Whereas some people, they were raised with more financial clarity of, okay, this is how we spend and this is how we save. So I think it's important to understand where your spouse comes from about money. Because even I think about my partner, you know, growing up in his part life, he was with a single mom. I was growing up with a single mom. And I think about the fact that there's a lot of things that he didn't get to experience and enjoy that he now gets to do as an adult. Whereas I feel like for me, I had a lot more support on the outside. So we didn't have to, we got all the Christmas gifts we wanted. We got all the birthday gifts we wanted. So that's why, you know, it's easier for me to say, yes, like splurge, go ahead and do it, you know, as long as it makes sense. And so I think that there's a lot of factors that come into play. I would say money is definitely complex and there's a lot to go, a lot more we can go into, but that's a whole thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say too. Well, I didn't get birthday gifts for everybody. I got money, but that's also too. It's like I didn't know nothing about lights being off. I didn't know about lights being off till I was paying my own bills or whatever. My dad's like, y'all was spoiled, but like we never knew. And so that's another thing too. It's like this is not trying to say it in a negative way, but like if you grow up on like surviving versus thriving. So if you're in a survival mode, that's another thing, and that can take your money as well. But to what you were saying, I was gonna say about the Reese Tisa thing is like my thing is I'm confused because I was like, I thought she had money to like I thought she had money to like pay because she had like a house and stuff like that. And so it was like, well, she seen that he paid for this. So then it's like, oh, okay, you can pay for this or whatever, pay for that. But to your point of what to my point to the situation is just like I'm telling my friends, like, you cannot just look at money. Money is a huge factor, but people that be having all this money, they could be cheating on you, they cannot be a good person, they can be not that. So also don't let money be the only factor that you think of a man. Like I still want a man with good character and stuff like that, but like money is a big thing, but it shouldn't be all, but it should be something that should be helpful to your situation. And the last thing I was gonna say is I don't know, I think it was on Netflix. Our show was like with Ramit, it was talking about the money. It was like different couples having different money issues or people spending all these monies. They're like, you had all this debt or whatever. And he had them doing like a financial, like what you said, like a story, like my money story or whatever. And so I think that was
Yeah.
really important. And he was like, talk about it, what do you have? And everybody had these different things with money and stuff like that. And so I think that is really cool. So I was going to say, kind of leading to the next thing, you know, how we always say like something that we want someone to leave with the therapy corner is maybe you all should, you know, write your money story. Think about what you want. Envision, create your financial freedom plan, your financial goals, or something like that. Like, write your money story and see maybe look what you want to bring to the table, what you want to know about it, so that we can quit having all these dang debates about 50-50, 170, 30% and stuff. Like, quit having all these dang debates about it and write your money story, write what you want, even what you want how much you want your man to make, and like how you want to create your life in around money. So that is my tip.
Yes, I love that for the therapy corner. And one thing for me as a mental health professional, I would say, in addition to the money story, is just remember that money evolves in households. Your money changes, it fluctuates. There are so many factors, whether it's illness, whether it's opportunities, unexpected money coming in, unexpected money expenditures. That is a part of the living, breathing process of being a human. And so just remember that even when you do make a plan, things can also change. And so remembering that you and your partner have a solid friendship, a solid foundation, a solid understanding of each other's goals and values, intentions, making sure that you both have shared visions is very important. So despite what your money looks like, you both are able to adjust and be flexible to whatever comes, you know, whether it means downsizing to the smallest apartment or moving to a beautiful big home. You have to make sure that you remember that life does ebb and flow. So good luck with you and your partner and you deciding what to do with money within your relationship. And we hope that this episode gave you more insights on that and what kind of conversations you should be having.
Yes. And so make sure you all share this. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram at Millennial Thoughts Pod, on Facebook so we can keep the conversation going. Thank you all. See y'all in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.